Welcome back to the guidebook, everybody. Today we are talking to one of my favorite human beings, Rachel Ayotte. She is a freaking gem, you guys. Every time I'm in Cambridge, I stop in and say hi to Rachel. I could talk to Rachel for literal hours. I am not kidding. We have talked for more than 2 hours straight before. But I hope that this slightly more brief podcast gives you a glimpse into how amazing our Pop Club community is, because Rachel is a huge part of it, and that's part of why I have her on the show today. Rachel's a freelance writer, and her background is actually in journalism, book publishing, and marketing. She started freelancing on a whim. Actually, we met in Cambridge because I posted on Instagram that I was going to be at the Cambridge Public Library, and she made a suggestion for where I should get lunch. And I was like, do you actually just like want to get lunch with me? So now we're friends and she's in Pop Club, which is so fun. My favorite thing about Rachel is that when she got tired of feeling like she didn't own her life, instead of giving up, she made a big change. She became a freelancer, and she says that it is the best thing she has done for herself personally and professionally. She says it's a true radical act of self-care, and I couldn't agree more. Rachel really took a chance on herself and it paid off. Since going freelance, she's been able to travel more, she's developed new hobbies, and she is building a community. More than that, has strengthened her relationship, which is so important, because she's had more time to invest in her friends and her family. She developed a better relationship with herself too. She says she feels happier and more fulfilled than she ever has before. I am so excited, you guys, for you to hear this conversation, because if you have been wondering if you should become a freelancer and you're really not sure, this perspective I think is going to be super helpful for you to understand the actual cost benefit analysis of becoming a freelancer. We don't just talk about all of these amazing benefits, which clearly there are. We also talk about the challenges, because it is challenging. Rachel and I discussed the emotional benefits of freelancing, how she gained her self-confidence back, how she maintains a better relationship with her mental health now, and how she feels in her life instead of being swallowed by it. But we also talk about the challenges of finding clients, the quarterly freakout that I know so many of us have, and setting your rates, and so much more. I'm just gonna stop talking now. Let's hear from Rachel.
This is the guidebook. We're sharing tips for freelancers, raw conversations with risk takers, how to become a digital nomad, and the emotions behind it all. I'm your host, Rachel. On the show, I share everything I've learned in the past 5 years of freelancing and living nomadically, showing you how you can work to live instead of living to work. I'm interviewing some of my favorite digital nomads and entrepreneurs to help you unlock your bravest self. If you want to become a freelancer or a digital nomad, this is the podcast for you.
Sometimes I'll like wait until we introduce ourselves, start recording, and then I'm like, no, all this is valuable. Right. Like, just record immediately. it's always be recording.
Everything is content.
Yeah, so I had a meeting with my business coach. Exactly. And my business coach was like, you're literally just asking the wrong question. Like, if you ask yourself, if you can take time off, the answer is always going to be no. But if you ask yourself, like, how could I make it possible for me to take time off? Then the answer, like, you can figure it out.
That's really smart.
That leads to other questions. Yeah. And she also does this thing where she's like, stay out of the drama in your head and like do the math. Like, how much money do you actually need to make? How many hours do you actually need to work to make that money? How can you fit that into the 4 days
that
you
have left that.
Before when you want to take
time off? I love that.
Yeah. And I... like, the clarity for me before I talked to her was not there. And then when I talked to her, I was like, this is so obvious and simple. And, like, I think the hard part is when I moved, I didn't have a place to live for a month in between my leases. So I was, like, staying with other people. And I was just kind of, like, doing the bare minimum work. I, like, had 4 contracts end that had been paying me monthly for 6 months. And that was like basically paying all my bills. And then I was like, oh.
Yes.
And I had just like, because of the whole moving thing and how I had been coasting at the beginning of the year on those 4 contracts, I didn't plan ahead for anything. So I like wasn't being proactive, and the things I did plan ahead, I felt too burnt out to do. And so it just got to a point where I like wasn't really making any money and I was spending a ton of money on moving. And I was like, oh fuck, my savings is gone now. Should have thought of it beforehand. So then I like reactively went and got way too many clients and then burnt myself out on that again. And then I was like, my God, I need to drop all these clients. I don't actually need any of them. I got a retainer client in October. And that's all I really needed to get, but I had been freaked out, so I picked up like four clients.
So that's like, I think that's like the top thing I struggle with is it's again the feast or famine thing, and I'm always trying to figure it out. And part of me is like, honestly, just been really freeing. Like, I'm sure I could be better about it and mitigate the stress, but part of me, which has just been really cathartic, is to be like, this is part of it, like. And that doesn't work for everyone. For me, it works because I'm like, this is part of what I signed up for and they're going to be ebbs and flows. And this might just be something I always struggle with because like other parts of my business, I feel fabulous about. I feel great. Like 99% of the time, I'm like, I'm cruising. Like I feel awesome. And the feast or famine thing is the thing that bothers me the most. And the other day I was like, you know what? This is just like a shitty part of this that's hard for me and just like accept it for what it is. And it's like such a natural part of freelancing. Like it happens and you always bounce back. Like, I think that it's also taught me like that there's always work. Like, I think in a weird way, it's been beneficial to be like, okay, yeah. When you really put your foot on the gas pedal, like it always comes back. So it's like, it's, you know what I mean? Like it's a double-edged sword, but I don't know. That's the thing I struggle with the most.
It's also like in the long term, it gets less bad over time too, because you know how to deal with it better. You trust that you can get clients. Like when I get on LinkedIn to go like, excuse me, sorry. When I get on LinkedIn to go network and try to get new clients, it's like, it's just muscle memory. Like I've done it before. I have like a day of like, will this work?
Oh,
and then I have like 2 weeks of like, okay, I'll get clients and it's totally fine. And it only happens to me now, like maybe once a year. Whereas it used to happen like every quarter. So it gets better over time and it gets easier over time. And also as soon as I realized I'm burnt out, I can't do all the work I took on. I was going to make $15,000 this month and I was so excited about it. And so I didn't want to like let any of the clients go because I was like, but I'll make $15,000. I've never done that before. I've made like 12, I've made like 13. And so I was like, oh, I can't possibly let any of them go. And like, I do need the money. Like in all reality, if I made $15,000 this month, I would have paid off an entire credit card. And like, that makes me want to throw up in like the best possible way. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, if I did the work to make $15,000, I would have had to write 8 blog posts this month, do 24 hours of retainer work from email marketing client that I have that is like super technical and tons of copywriting and like graphic designs, like everything.
It's you do the graphic design too? You do like the whole thing?
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm doing everything.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yes. All like the automation setup, the like getting Shopify to play nice with MailChimp.
Oh, shit.
Like I'm doing all of it. And some of it I already know how to do, but some of it I'm like, well, fuck. But that's how you learn. And I had done all of it in Shopify, just never done any of it in MailChimp. And MailChimp is owned by Intuit. And Intuit is awful.
Really? I've never used it.
I hate it. Yeah. I use like QuickBooks, TurboTax, and MailChimp. They're all owned by Intuit. And they're all like overcomplicated. Like they make it more complicated than it need to be. But regardless, I was doing all of that. Plus, I have 6 one-on-one coaching clients right now, not all of whom I meet with every week, but I have at least 3 one-on-one clients every week, and then Puff Club and Camp Moxie, which I meet with bi-weekly and like maintain. How did I ever think I was going to do that? I literally can't breathe right now.
I guess there's another thing I struggle with. Like, how do you ever say no to work? Like I struggle so much to your point. Like I'm going to make $12,000 this month, which I'm like so amped about. I'm so fucking burnt out. Like I feel like shit, but at the same time, I'm like, how do you as a business owner or as a freelancer who you're dependent on contracts, like how do you turn them away? I just, that's something I have yet to figure out too. Like I don't know. And like, I don't know the right answer.
It's
like
so
you should
hard.
Definitely not burn yourself out. But I also get like, how the hell do you turn down, to your point, like a 15 grand it's so hard. But I like that your coach's approach is like, what do you actually need to pay off this debt or pay off whatever, or what do you, like, just the necessity? Because like approaching it from that angle is like, you really can't fuck it up then. Like, just do what you have to do. And like, part of that is like taking care of yourself. So like focusing on the necessity and not just like a scarcity mindset of like, I have to take this because when is this ever going to come around again? And it always does. So it's like,
it always does. I've already gotten 7 new offers for projects that start in January.
That's amazing.
I literally can't, like, first of all, I can't say enough about like regularly doing marketing and networking, especially on like,
you've been cranking.
If you work in tech. Dude. And honestly, like, I don't even, I'm just feeling it.
That's
I just
right.
like it. Honestly, I think part of it is that I like stopped using Instagram and now I'm like, you know, and I only use it during work.
That's like such a mature
and I'll just,
progression
like,
of you. You're
of
like,
a rant.
Instagram, not for me. You're like, LinkedIn for the professional girlies. I love.
I used to like Instagram used to very much be like a community building thing for me, and I've just gotten to a point where like it's just stagnant and I'm getting nothing out of it, and mostly what I'm getting out of it is just like negativity, and I'm like, I am not
I saw
for
Polly
this like
And it's also it feels
she and I talked about it
what are her feelings about it
on our podcast episode. We were just talking about like how it feels like you can grow a lot faster on LinkedIn right now. Like, neither of us have grown a lot on Instagram in the past year or two, even though we're putting in the work. And, you know, if all we're doing is talking about work anyway, like, why not just use the professional network that's made for work? Like, I have sold more of my passive income products, like those little guidebooks and small courses that I have, since I joined LinkedIn, just by posting about like what I'm feeling passionate about that day. Like, when people, like, what's working? Like, how did I get 4 clients in a month and get to the point where I could make $15,000, even though I didn't? I ended up dropping 4 of those clients in the end. Like, I got there from sending letters of introduction, just like I always have. Like, I didn't get those clients by doing content marketing on LinkedIn. I got those clients from sending LOIs. So, like, that's why I focus on it. And I got so many questions in my DMs of people being like, what do you send in your LOI? And I'm like, oh, here are my templates.
That's amazing.
And then people just went and bought them. I didn't even have to, like, on Instagram, it is, like, pulling teeth to get
it
people to buy
things. It feels more natural.
And it's like, not that I'm only selling.
Well, it makes sense because it's way more natural. And, like, people are on that platform for that purpose to, like, you know what I mean, grow professionally. So it's way less of a sell to be like, oh, here's my template. Yeah, totally.
It's like the Instagram people who are on Instagram being like, this is how I market on Instagram, buy my course. And I'm like, I'm way more likely to buy that than I am to buy like some, I don't know, like something else. Like, I'm talking about LinkedIn on LinkedIn and how I use it and how you can use it. And that's exciting. And that makes sense. And it's very aligned. And it feels so easy. Like, I'll just bang out like 5 rants on Monday, schedule them for the week, and I'm off. And then I just like comment and send LOIs for like half an hour when I first log on. And it's just like a nice way to start my day. And I'm like slowly making friends with
people.
That's
great.
I'm also thinking of using, like, because of my coaching stuff, I feel like it's helpful for people to see like the behind the scenes, those like little snippets of like what coaching actually looks like. And that isn't really doing much on Instagram. Nobody really cares, but I feel like it would probably do okay on TikTok. And maybe I should just like jump ship and try it. So totally. I'm thinking about trying that too. But I think as far as like writing clients goes, LinkedIn's where it's at, just like I've always said. But it's like more where it's at than ever before now.
Well, I was
going
to say, it also must be so affirming to you that you're getting so much clientele and like passive income from LinkedIn. Like, you've been saying LinkedIn from the beginning. You're like, that's where to find people. So like, it must be affirming now to be like, oh yeah, like I'm actually fully leaning into this and it's working. And this is what I thought all along. Yeah. That's sick.
Yeah. I think like we spread ourselves too thin because there are so many opportunities by using all these different platforms and you don't know what's right. Yeah. You don't know what works. You don't have any proof. And so I'm like splitting all my time. But if I actually just focus on one or two things, it's like, oh, this is actually going really well.
Yeah.
And like right now I'm stockpiling episodes of the guidebook and they'll all release. Like, I have enough almost for the entire first quarter next year. And that's much easier than like having to do it every week and having to keep up with it. And like, same with Instagram, like you have to be on it every day and keep up with it.
It must be mind numbing.
I can't
Instagram.
Do it for 5 minutes.
No, Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Well, it also shows you that you should, I don't know. There's something to be said about like listening to your intuition. Like obviously you're testing things out, but like it clearly sounds like you're gravitating towards something that just like generally feels more fulfilling too. Like not only is it producing results, but it just like it clearly like feels better, feels less like selly, markety. Like I don't know. It sounds like all together it's like the right, you know, the right move.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's something to think about in your whole business too. Like getting to know yourself and what does feel good to you. Cause when I first started, like I didn't even know what that meant.
Totally.
And then the longer I go, the more I'm like, oh yeah, it doesn't feel good to me to work this much, or it doesn't feel good to me to work on this type of project, or it doesn't feel good to me to get clients this way or whatever. Yeah. And getting to know that is key for sure. Getting to know yourself. I did not expect that when I first started freelancing. I was like, fuck, I have to get to know myself now.
10,000%. Yeah. And unfortunately, like, I feel like I only figured out what which is the case with so many things. I only figured out what I didn't like by working with like some hellish clients, which is like not the lion's share of people I've worked with, but like most of my clients are lovely and wonderful people. But then like the second you work with a bad client, you're like, I am never going to do this again. And I should have listened to myself. And I mean, I think you remember I had a horrible client that like didn't pay me last year or the year before. And I was so distraught over it. But if anything, like when it was all over, truly the most clear feeling that I had was like, I should have listened to myself, because the first phone call I had with them was like, I felt off. I was like, I don't think that this is a project for me. But at the time, I was in total scarcity mindset and was like, I have to take this. They're offering me a lot of money. Like, who am I to turn this down? Like, I think was always my feeling. Like, who am I as someone who needs money and is a freelancer and is doing all this stuff? Like, who am I to turn down any opportunity? Which I think so many new freelancers think they have to take on everything. Again, like total scarcity. I'll never get this opportunity again. I have to grab at everything. Like, I'm, you know, who am I sort of thing. And that I think really set me back, because I was taking on such random projects. I was taking on projects with people who ultimately screwed me over. And like from the beginning, like the very first call that I had with this one client I'm thinking of, like my whole sense of like, I could just tell, my intuition was like, no. And I pushed through it anyway. Yeah. And I got screwed over in the end. And like, it did show me that I should have listened to myself, which is a key thing to learn. Yeah.
Yeah. We've all had that though, you know, like I had this one client early on, I think it was like my second year of being full-time. They offered me a $3,000 a month retainer, and I had never made that much in my life from one client at a time ever. And I couldn't say no, but I knew that it wasn't a good relationship. Like from the discovery call, I was like, this guy is bad news. And then the scope of the project, it was an hourly retainer, and the scope just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And he was like, why aren't you answering my Slack messages? I need your phone number. He would like text me and call me. And then he was like, oh, I need you to start hiring freelancers to like execute this content writing project, which is not what I signed up for. And I didn't charge him more because at the time I was new and I didn't know what I was doing. And it just got so out of hand. And after 3 months, like every month, it was like every week something else would come up where it just got like bigger and bigger and worse. And finally, the third month, I was like, I absolutely cannot continue to do this. I'm not even going to refer you to someone else because you're awful. Good luck. Goodbye. I'm done. I quit. And he was like, I don't understand why. And I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, I think it also shows you like you really have to like love yourself a little bit. Like not to be so preachy, but like you have to be like, I deserve better than this, and like have confidence in yourself, because otherwise freelancing is going to be terrible. Like if you have zero self-confidence and you feel awful, which like we've all been there, I mean, for sure. Like, you know, I'm not a confidence queen, but if you have really poor self-confidence and you start freelancing, like you'll very quickly learn that you need to your point, like get to know yourself, like yourself, you know, as best as you can. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because otherwise you're just going to get stuck with shitty clients.
For sure. Oh my God. How do you think that you got out of that scarcity mindset? Like what helped you make the shift after that? Like that worst client that you had to send like a lawyer letter to get paid from.
It was insane. It's a good question. I really think I I think I had to go through the feast or famine thing. Like, truthfully, I think I had to experience it. Like, I had always was fearing, like, what if I don't have clients? What if I don't make a certain amount a month? And I think that just kept me in that mindset, and I took on anything. And then I experienced a month where, like, I didn't have no clients, but I had, you know, a few, it wasn't that much money. And I was freaking out. And like we were talking about, I pitched a bunch and, you know, it all came back around. I think I had to see that it would all, that it would work out, that like I would get clients again. I had to see like the really hard parts of it to be like,
you have to prove to yourself.
Totally. And that I was like strong enough to do it. And I was smart enough. Like I had enough savings and like just trust myself and trust that I could get clients again. So yeah, like, unfortunately, I think I had to experience that in order to get out of the scarcity mindset and then be like, oh wait, like same thing. Like I pitched a bunch and then I was overwhelmed with people that wanted to work with me, which was so great. And then like it's a confidence boost because I was like turning people away and like, you know what I mean? Like I had to go through that whole process in order to, I think, get out of the scarcity and be like, there is enough work. There are enough people that want to work with you. People do want to work with you. And it just takes time and you just have to be confident. You have to trust yourself and trust the process that you've set up for yourself. And yeah. And obviously also have like built in savings and be smart about it. Like don't just, you know, be like, whatever. But yeah, I think I had to really go through the shitty parts of freelancing in order to be like, oh wow, like I can do this and I don't have to just take whatever comes my way. Like I have autonomy. Yeah. And then it feels like a self-fulfilling prophecy because then, or not, that's not the right word. Maybe it is, but then it's like this like constant cycle of like, oh yeah. And then it, I feel like it just builds your confidence more and more.
Basically. It keeps reinforcing itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always say that like, if you're pitching enough and you're charging enough, you will be turning clients.
Yeah.
Away.
Yeah.
Like you will know that you're doing enough when you're turning clients away. And there will be times when you can coast like that first 6 months of this year. I didn't pitch at all. I was networking, but I was not pitching and I wasn't sending like follow-ups to get clients and I didn't change my rates because I just had these like 6 month contracts. So I did coast and that was nice and lovely and fine. But as soon as I knew that was coming to an end, like a month beforehand, I should have started pitching again and raising my rates and then I would have been fine. But now like I am turning clients away and I did raise my rates and then I'm like, okay, I know I'm doing enough because this is what's happening.
And it's such an ego boost.
And it doesn't need like you don't need to constantly be doing it. Yes.
Totally.
Dude, it's insane. I felt like September, October, I felt so stressed. I was like barely making my money, like paying my bills. I was like trying to refill my savings. I was just constantly like, oh my God, why did I do this to myself? I need clients so bad. And then as soon as I, like, it basically takes, like, 21 to 30 days for whatever you're doing to kick in if you've already created that foundation that we have from the long-term networking that we've been doing. And every single time that, like, first 20 days, I'm like, what the fuck did I do? What the fuck did I do? What the fuck did I do? And then you get the things coming back where people are, like, finally responding to your follow-ups and wanting to hire you and all these things. And then it's just, like, oh my God, I feel so flattered because there's so many things that now I have to say no.
Oh my God.
And every single time I go through this, one of those ends up being like some insane company that I didn't think I could work for. And this happens like once or twice a year. Like 2 years ago, it was Grammarly. The year before that, it was like Coding Dojo. And this year I got like, I literally just landed Lenovo and I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? First of all, I'm blushing. Second, like they found me.
Oh, they did?
They came to me and I was like, oh my God. Yeah. They like slid into my LinkedIn DMs and were like, hey, can we talk about this project? And I was like, I guess. Oh no, they sent me an email and they were like, your friend Katie like mentioned that you do tech writing, are you interested in maybe working with us on a project? And it's an agency. And I always say no to agencies. And for some reason, I was just like, sure, what is it? And then they sent me the brief and it had the like Lenovo logo on it. And I was like, oh my God. Wow. Like your gut is always right. Yeah. Like I didn't say no because I was just for some reason, I was like, Katie wouldn't have referenced me if it wasn't a good opportunity. I might as well look, you know? And it's so cool when that happens. But it's like every time you're freaking out is right before the best thing ever 10,000%. Right?
Like, yes, I literally.
I wanted to quit freelancing. I got Coding Dojo. I wanted to quit freelancing. I got Grammarly. This month I was like, I don't ever want to quit anymore. But I do consistently think like,
yeah,
I have to figure it out. Yes. You know what I mean? And every time you're like, the end of the world is coming.
It's something funny. Happens. I don't know if you remember, like, one of my first calls that we had together, I was like, when I first started freelancing, I was like, my boyfriend that I live with was like, this is the daily, like, you freaking the fuck out. And then like, it ends up working out. And it's not the daily anymore. It's like the quarterly now. But basically, he's like, it always works out. Because like, I truly, once a quarter, I'll be like, that's it. Like, I'm closing up shop. Like, I can't do this. And like, I'm so scared of every other client. Yeah. And yeah, like it happened again, like happened last quarter. I lost a bunch of clients, like our contracts ended and they didn't have the budget, whatever. And he's like, this is the quarterly, or like, this is the daily. Like, you know that this is going to come back around. It always does. He was like, just remember like the thousands of times this happened before, it's going to be fine. And it's true. It's like truly that was the moment that you're like on the precipice. You're like, it's over. Truly the next day. It's fine. Truly.
Yeah. Truly. Every time. And I feel like it's like predictable. Yeah. And you'll get to a certain point. Like my first year, it was every day. My second year, it turned into quarterly. My third year was still kind of quarterly because I had gotten laid off from a part-time job that I had been working. So then it was like really all on freelancing for the first time in my life. And then after that, it just like, now it's like once a year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's amazing.
You're good to go.
You really just have to like learn the flow. Mindset. Yeah.
Well, you never introduced yourself. So why don't we do that and I'll move it back to the beginning.
Okay. So my name is Rachel Aya. I'm a Boston-based freelance writer and I'm in a few different niches, but mostly B2B SaaS. And I write a lot about fundraising and nonprofit tech because I worked in nonprofit before. I do some like e-learning content. And I also do like a little bit of no code website building, a little bit all over the place. And once in a blue moon, I will do book ghostwriting, but that is really only when like the right project comes around, right person. So that's, I'm a little bit all over the place. I actually never ended up like super niching down. And it's, so far it's been okay. I might hit a point where like I really have to niche, but so far I've had like a good amount of clientele in each of those big buckets and I feel good about it. And I'm just also starting to get into the mental health space a little bit. So I'm a little bit all over the place, but it's worked out for me, knock on wood. It might not be the case like next year when we talk at some point, but for right now I'm a little bit all over the place, mostly B2B SaaS though. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Perfect. You messaged me on Instagram, right?
Yeah. So you were working at the library next to my apartment and I had just followed you on Instagram because I was curious about freelance writing and I was at a full-time job and I was like, wouldn't it be so amazing if I could do this? Like, you know, I would see like influencer-y people doing it. And I was like, this just seems unattainable, but you were the only person that I followed that it felt really attainable because you were posting like, these are three things that you could do right now to, you know, get started or whatever. And I like would take your free advice and I started doing it. You were the first person that I felt like I could really, it was, you know, on the ground. It wasn't like this like high level, you know, totally abstract advice. But anyway, so I followed you and you were working, you had posted that you were working in the library next to my apartment. I think I just was like, fuck it. I'm gonna message her. And I don't know if I out of the gate was like, hi, do you want to meet? I've been following you. But I think I said something like, oh, you should stop by this like coffee place or whatever. It's my favorite place in the area.
Yeah. You told me where to go.
Okay.
For lunch.
Okay. So I do remember correctly. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, do you want to get lunch? Cause I was alone. I was just like alone in Cambridge for the day. And I was like, you want to hang out? Yeah. Yeah. And then we went for a long walk. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was funny to meet in person because there's so few people that I've coached that I've met in person. And it was so funny because I met you and we hung out that day and I was just like, She's never going to join my programs. I don't know why I thought that. I think sometimes I'm worried that, like, when I become friendly with people and we're actual friends, I'm like, oh, now they're not going to want to work with me or whatever.
Well, if you got that vibe, you probably were correct, only because I was so new to thinking about it that I was so hesitant to, like, even dip my toe. And so you were probably right to feel that way, because at the time I just was like, this is not a thing people do full time. Like, but meeting you though was like, oh, like, this is a real person, not just on the internet, that is making a living doing this. Like, you are working in the public library in my neighborhood doing your own work. And, like, to me, which sounds so ridiculous now.
And we're both named
Rachel. We're both named Rachel, right.
So it's very easy to see how it would work.
But it sounds so ridiculous now, but I only ever imagined myself in a traditional 9-to-5 job. So to think of someone being their own boss and, like, especially writing. I mean, my parents were entrepreneurs. Like, I wasn't, like, totally, you know, unknowing of, like, how people could be entrepreneurs or whatever. It was more that, like, I loved writing so much and I just, you know, never thought that I could have my own business with writing outside of, like, you know, I thought for writing for me was going to be, you know, I work at a magazine, a newspaper or whatever, which just was zero money. And I don't know, I felt like the whole future for me potentially writing was just kind of grim. And I worked in publishing, which was terrible pay. It just was something I just was like, I got to give this up. And to meet you, that you're like, again, a real person we'd never met before. And you know how people on your phone, you're like, people that you follow, you're like, this is not a real person, whatever. They clearly are. But, like, until you meet them, you're like, oh, wow.
You get that, like, internet separation. Yeah.
And when I met you and you were doing this, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So yeah, like, this is a real person that is doing this. Like, I can do this. Like, I can definitely do it. So, but you probably were correct to feel that way. Cause at the time I was like, I'm just, like, thinking about it, but probably not. Like, I really was very hesitant. But yeah, that's the first time we met.
Yeah, that was wild. And then you joined Pop Club. Yes. Why did you join Pop Club? And, like, how did it feel to join? Because I never really get to hear these stories until I'm, like, podcasting with people in the club. Because normally I just, like, onboard you and I help you get going. And then you're in the club and you forget that there was ever a time that you didn't
have. Oh, my God.
The community or whatever.
So I will say, and I'm really not even, like, saying it to help you promote it, truly the smartest thing I ever did for my business was join Pop Club, because I really thought that I could do it on my own, and I was trying really hard to, like, cut down expenses. Not that Pop Club was, like, so expensive, but I was like, I'm going to try and do this on my own. I don't need anything else. Like, you know, I'm already slightly worried about money taking this big, like, nosedive into this. And so I was very hesitant to join, but I just, like, when I describe to people, when I tell people about my work, one of the second things I mentioned truly is Pop Club, because I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I'm not, because people are like, oh my God, how are you figuring out how to do this on your own? And how do you write a contract? And, like, I'm like, yeah, that sounds really scary. Like, I totally get why you don't get this. And I'm like, the only way I figured out how to do any of this, like, truly any of it, is that I joined Pop Club. Because, like, I'm like, I literally will cut and paste an email I received into Pop Club and be like, help, I don't know how to respond to this. Like, what should I say? And, like, within 15 minutes or whatever, or even if it's the next day, like, there are multiple people, you and Polly and, you know, four other people, they're like, here's what I would do, or I had this exact situation happen to me. And I just, like, don't think that you can put a price tag on that. And before Pop Club, I was really just, like, in the wild, wild west of the internet, being like, truly sometimes on Reddit, like, in a very niche Reddit thread, being like, okay, so when you guys make a contract, like, I was really stressed. And and, like,
it's hard too, because, like, there's so much conflicting information.
Oh my God.
And everybody's trying to be helpful, and at the end of the day, like, all of that information is true for someone, but it might not be true for you. Like, there are so many situations that you or, like, any of the Pop Club members have, like, put into our Slack and been like, can you help me with this? And it's like, I know you as a person yeah. now, because we do that like onboarding consultation and everything. So I know how to help you. Whereas like, if you had posted that in Reddit, the amount of like weird conflicting information you would have gotten would probably be like, so not helpful. So like fast. Sometimes I'll still give you like two or three options, but you know, in your own gut, like which of those options will work, and you know that it's for you and not just like,
totally.
Some advice.
And also like there's a back and yeah. forth, like Reddit, like it's like one random person answers you and then they're like gone sometimes. You're like, no, please. Like I had five yeah. more questions.
Like, what did you mean by that?
Yeah. So pop up is like, and also bless my partner, because when I first started freelancing, he was like my go-to. He knows nothing about freelancing and he's very smart, but knows nothing about freelancing. But I'd be like, how do you think I should structure this retainer? And he'd be like, I can help. So he would like, I love him. He'd be like sitting with me being like, okay, like let's, he's like, he's literally in Canva with me, like making the thing, like he's in there with me. And I love him for that. But at the same yeah. time, he was also like, this is new to me too. Like I'm learning with you. It's very much so like he loved me, was trying to do it with me. But he was like, you that need, so it was so sweet. And I still go to him sometimes when I'm in like a full panic. But most of the time I'm going obviously to Pop Club. And like, truly, I have had like so much great advice. And you know, like when I've been in like really, really bad pinches with clients, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to do. You know, like high level stuff. And then like really granular, like how do you, right, like price this package? How do I upsell this client? How do I handle a disco call if they say this? Like it, you just cannot get that. I don't think you can't get that level of information from Googling, from Reddit, from a YouTube day in the life yeah. of how to be a freelance writer. Like I tried all of those and it didn't work. And there's some great free information out there, but you're just not going to get the type of granular yeah. information and advice that is truly ends up making the difference. Like you can use YouTube and a random Google search to just figure out what freelancing is and like very bare bones structure.
Mm-hmm. See if it could work.
Yeah.
What would your day
you need
look
a
like?
Contract.
How to write
right,
a blog
right.
post.
This is a, you, yeah. you need a contract. Like you need these five things, but you don't know anything past that. Like to get into the granular of like what should be yeah. in a contract, what should be in your pricing package, yes. what, how you should yeah. market yourself, that sort of thing. Like maybe other people have had luck finding answers to that, but I have not. And I've scoured the internet.
I will also say like the freelance resource library that you get with Pop Club, that you get with every program that I sell, I made like piece by piece for like my actual coaching clients. Like I started coaching one-on-one in 2020 and every single coaching call, I would like write down something that they needed. And then I would like go and build it in the freelance resource library. So it's like 3, 4, 5 years of people's questions being turned into resources. And now some of them have videos. And it's crazy to think that like once upon a time, these were all questions that I had too, but it's not just based on like the questions I had. It's based on the questions that like yeah. you guys actually had, half of which I never even thought well, of because my brain just works differently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like super, super hyper relevant content. It's not, yeah, it's not like you're ever truly, you're never posting something that I'm like, oh, I know that backwards in front. Like it's usually something I have a question about. And like, and it's also so affirming because it's like, oh wow, other people have questions about that. Like that call we did the other day yes. about the disco call. I hate disco calls. I'm so bad at them. They stress me out. I don't know what to say. And I was like, I'm going to be the only person on this call because I bet all everyone else has this figured out. And like, it was so nice that like 5 or 6 other people there being like, what the fuck do you say when you get on the phone with a client? And that like feels so basic, but like, and I was feeling like shame about it. I was like, I'm so bad at this. But it was so nice to like, even just the community part of it. And, you know, to feel so affirmed, like, there are other people that are exactly where I'm at and struggling with the same things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially for freelance writing, which can be, happen in such like a silo, you know, we're all working from home basically. And to have a community of people.
Or with your boyfriend who doesn't know.
Right, love him, but like, yeah. It's like, yeah, but you know, he can only do so much. But yeah, no, to have like a yeah. a dedicated community of people that are doing the exact same thing as you. I mean, in any part of life, like not even just freelancing or work, like, I mean, I think that's, yeah, that's like one of the beauties of the internet is like, if you're having a problem or you're having whatever, there's a community for it. And like, PopPub is the community for freelance writing. And like, I'm so glad I found it because I desperately needed it. I was doing so much relentless Google searching. You would not believe, like, my history was crazy. I was like, please, someone.
I know. That's exactly what I did for years. Mm-hmm. When I finally hired a business coach to help me, I never worked with like a freelance writing coach specifically, but that's because there really like weren't very many. Like by the time I started coaching, that's when people started popping up. And the ones that did exist were more for like pitching, like writing story pitches to publications, which is not like, I'm not a journalist and I'm not trying to like write a book or anything like that. So like what did exist before was basically like general business coaching for like online creative entrepreneurs or whatever. When I finally started talking to them, I was like, oh my God, okay, this is how you can set your rates. And I feel like the way that I learned to do my business was by taking things from like other little businesses, like actually wedding photography for some reason. Like I've just always followed the Hearns and like really loved their wedding photography style and how they talk about their business on Instagram and things like that. And seeing their proposals and pricing guides, I was like, that looks nice. I'm going to do that. And that's why I do pricing guides the way that I do. And then my potential clients started like really reacting to it versus when we just talked about pricing on discovery calls. And I took like the way that you remove friction from your invoices by like offering credit card, or like, I don't ask people to fill out a questionnaire because it makes it too hard for them to work with me. I would rather waste 20 minutes on a discovery call finding out whether they're wrong for me than have like my ideal client not end up working with me because they have analysis paralysis inside of a Google form that I'm like requiring them to fill out to work with me. I learned that from a wedding photographer on Instagram, right? I learned how to like do my pricing equations from a freelance, like from a business coach who was teaching creative entrepreneurs, and I was the only writer she was coaching. She was coaching like graphic designers and web designers. And I'm over here like, help. How do you set your prices? And I had like never laid out like how much money I spend every year. Like my parents didn't teach me jack shit about money. I didn't know how to like create a budget and like find out how much I was spending every month. Like I never done spending tracking before that and like setting your rates based on that. And I saw the number at the end and I was like, there is no way I can ask for that. And at the time it was like $50 an hour. Like my rent was like $600 back then. And it is insane to like look back and think about, like I pay $1,500 a month now. It is insane to like look back on that business coaching and think like, I thought that I couldn't charge that. Cause now my minimum is like at least $100 an hour. And it's, but like, coaching is invaluable, even if it isn't like perfectly on niche for you. So when you do find it, when it's perfectly on niche for you, like I wanted to make a course. So I took a course about making courses from someone I respected who's actually a wedding photographer. No surprise, because I just like am drawn to the aesthetic, but it still helped me make my course. And it was well worth the investment. I learned so many things. Like if you don't zip file your workbooks, then people can hack your course website from the back end and download your PDF files for free. Yeah. And I never would have known that if I didn't take that course, right?
I would. Wow. So that's nuts.
Investing is like well worth it. And you can learn the hard way at first, and then you can learn the easy way later.
I think like you just by taking classes or whatever, or joining community or whatever, like you just save so much time and headache. Like you're going to have to make mistakes and fail, but like, I think having a community to like fall back on and learn from, like you're just going to save so much time. Like the minute I joined PopPub, like I saved so much time. I was spending like half my day just trying to find an answer to a question. Like, I mean, if you're freelancing, like your time is the one asset that you have. Like I was wasting full days just trying to figure out the bare basics that like now I pop into PopPub and I get an answer within, you know, half hour or whatever. And like, it's nice. Again, like other people have the same question as me and they're chiming in being like, oh, this makes sense. And it's just, it's really nice. Like it's, it's totally invaluable. It's the best.
Thanks for your,
of course. No, it's true. No, it's totally true. I wouldn't say it's true.
I know it's all like candid and real. And I know you would say this to anybody, even if I wasn't here, but it's one of those things that's like, when you do, and same with freelancing, like the amount, I only hear praise about my coaching when I ask for it, or like I'll randomly get an email sometimes and be like, I really needed that pep talk today. Thank you so much. And that's delightful. I love getting them. But like 90% of the time, same with my writing. I think I've gotten like 6 compliments my entire career. And I've been doing this for like 6 years. And the only time I get the compliments is like when I ask them for a recommendation on LinkedIn.
I guess that's true, actually.
Like if you're not getting any feedback, you're doing it right. Assume it's a compliment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whereas like you will get edits and revisions a lot. So it's easy to think that like, oh, I'm not doing it right. Or, oh, I'm not doing the best. Or, oh, I don't feel like there's some kind of worthiness that you get when you're an employee because your manager tells you in your like quarterly review that you're doing a good job or that they want to promote you or like whatever, but you don't get that in freelancing or apparently in business coaching. And so it's nice to hear it. And it's like, I'm not egotistical. I don't know. We all have egos. We all want to hear doing a good job.
Totally. Yeah. I don't buy it if you say you
don't. It's like, it's nice. But,
well, it's totally true. I wouldn't just say it's really true.
It's a very human need. What is your favorite part about freelancing?
What's my favorite part about freelancing?
Or parts. You can say a few if you want.
I would say this is like very meta, but I feel so in my life, like more than I ever have. Like I think when I worked 9 to 5s, I just for a long time in my life, I felt like I've been following the track. Like this is the next thing, which I know a lot of people feel like this is the next thing. This is the next thing. And freelancing for the first time felt like I'm doing something I want to do because I want to do it. And like, I want to be in my life more. Like I just felt like when I was going, even in like some of the jobs I had that I loved, like I was waking up, going to the office, coming back. I was on a strict schedule. I had to request time off from somebody else. I just felt like I wasn't like living my life, which again, feels very like privileged to say like that I could even think about not doing that. But I just felt so like, I wasn't living my life. And now I finally feel like every day I'm making decisions based on what's best for me, from when I want to work to what clients I want to work with and how long I want to work. Like it is so empowering. And then I think it's just made so many other parts of my life richer because I'm like, oh, I can do this with my career. I can do this with other things in my life. Like I don't have to just be in this relationship because I've had it for a long time, or I don't have to like live here just because this is where I live. Like it really emboldened me to, yeah, like take ownership of my life and be more intentional with what I'm doing. Because yeah, with freelancing every day, you're making like really intentional decisions and no one's telling you what to do. Yeah. And if today I don't want to work at all, I'm not going to work at all. Or like, I'm going to work until midnight or whatever. So yeah, I would say like the thing I love most is that I just feel like I have so much more autonomy. I feel like I'm really in my life, living my life versus my life like swallowing me. And I'm just kind of like in it, you know, wading through it. I'm like in the tide, like not in the current. We're going wherever it's like pushing me sort of thing. Not to be, yeah, like so meta, but it's true. Like I think I just feel like I know myself better. I feel very like in myself, in my life. Which makes sense because freelancing gives you so much autonomy back and like can really boost your self-confidence if you feel like you're doing well and so much more time to invest in yourself and things you love. It's like, of course, I think naturally, you know, I mean, this is my experience, but I would assume a lot of people feel this way that like, yeah, wow, I'm like really living my life, not like a life. I'm living my life, which has just for me, like, impacted every part of my life, like has been made better by freelancing. Best thing I ever did for myself.
Yeah, I love to hear that. That's very, like, I'm very relatable. Same. It's so nice to not, like, be living your life on someone else's schedule.
Yeah, and I think, like, people don't realize how much that does wonders for other parts of your life. Like, it's not just that I don't want to go to the office. It's, like, me being able to set my own hours and set my own schedule and be a freelancer has like, it's truly impacted every other part of my life. Like I have more time to invest in things I actually love, more time in relationships. Mm-hmm. I have stronger relationships than I think I ever did. I just like enjoy life more. Yes. I'm just happier. Which is, again, not to say mm-hmm. that every part of freelancing is like, you know, fun and pretty. It can be stressful, but even with the most yeah. stressful times, and I've talked about this with my partner before, he's like, it's interesting that even in the times that you're freaking out, he's like, you're still happier than I've ever seen you. Like, even in the times when things mm-hmm. are stressful, it's very rare that I really don't want to do this anymore. Whereas like when I was at a 9-to-5 yeah. job and I had a bad day, it was over. Like I would get home and be like, fuck this job, it's done. Like I have my moments in freelancing, but by and large, the good outweighs the bad. And I can talk myself down and I'm like, this is still the happiest I've ever been. Like, yeah, totally.
Yeah. It goes away the next
yeah,
day.
Yeah. Cause it's like, yeah. this is incredible. Like I, yeah, even the bad days are, mm-hmm. I'll take these bad days over, you know, working a bad day. Yeah, those totally. Days, I mean, yeah. it's like no question. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's part of what you said about like my, all of my relationships are stronger because you have the time. I think part of it is also the capacity because like when you work in an office, like every time everyone I've dated has had like a full-time 9-to-5 job or like worked in a restaurant or whatever. And they're spending at least half their day in meetings yep. with people that they have obviously interpersonal relationships with because they're at work and those are their coworkers. And even if that's on video call and even if they can work from home, which many of them didn't, they're coming home exhausted and honestly having a hard time even pouring into our relationship, let alone their friendships. And it's just like, how do you have the capacity to maintain all of those work relationships, your friends outside of work, your relationship with your partner, commute to the office, spend 9 hours in the office, feed yourself, go to the grocery store, do your laundry, water your plants, pet yeah. your cat. You know, it's like, how do you have time and energy and capacity to do all of those things every single week? Like many people don't.
Yeah, you just don't.
And that's, yeah, it's such a nice byproduct is like having, and you feel like you need those relationships to be deeper and better and more serving and like have a reason to exist, because when you're freelancing you're spending so much time alone and you don't really have coworkers. Like occasionally, like I'm working on a retainer project right now and I have like 3 people working on the project with me, and so for like 6 hours a week I have coworkers and we have Pop Club, who I consider to be like coworkers, but it's not like all day, every day, you're like expected to interact with these people and maintain these relationships. You're talking to your clients on email, maybe like once or twice a week or something like that. It's just so different. So your friendships take on a new meaning of like how they fit in your life and how they fulfill yeah. you and like what they mean to you.
Yeah.
You
know? And I just think I can show up better too, because like I'm happier. Like aside from just like the time mm-hmm. I got back, I just am happier. Like, so then naturally when I'm showing up in those relationships, I feel less burdened. Like I feel, yeah. I just feel brighter. And so then, you know, the kind of natural consequence of that is that, you know, my relationships are better. And yeah, I just can't say enough about it. It's the best thing I ever did.
I love to hear it. So the last question I usually ask is, what advice do you have for aspiring freelancers, entrepreneurs, adventurers, people who want to change their lives the way that you did?
I think that you have to trust yourself and know that you're going to fail and it's going to be okay. Like, I think you have to have enough trust and self-love to be like, I'm going to take this leap and I'm going to be okay. And I believe in myself. Like, you have to, you know, have that in yourself. Doesn't hurt to also be surrounded by people that are cheering you on, but you have to have it innately and know that most likely in either big or small, you will fail. And I think for so long, I was just so afraid of that happening to me that like we talked about earlier in the podcast, I just was so afraid to fail. I'm like, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? And I did end up having many months where I was like, shit, I don't, you know, this is not the amount of money I wanted to make, whatever. But that was par for the course and I learned so much from it, and it's made me stronger as like a business owner and as a person. And yeah. And then again, it shows you that you can get through it. And that again, what we talked about, it feeds your confidence. And you just, over time it gets better. But I think people are just so afraid to fail, and you have to know that it's most likely going to happen, like in some way. And that you can get.
Yeah, you're going to make some mistakes. Yeah,
totally.
Something is going to go wrong.
And you have to
just know it's going to happen.
And you have to have enough, like,
that you can get through.
You have to have enough confidence and self-esteem and like yourself enough to like be okay with that and sit with that and be like, it's not a reflection of who I am or whatever. Like, you're taking a risk. You're trying something new. You're doing something that most people will never try. So like, you're probably going to fail and you should not blame yourself, you know, like, mistakes happen, and it's par for the course, and you're going to learn so much from it. And I would just, I would say be confident, take the risk, know you're going to fail, and do it anyway, like 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh my God. Where can people find you online?
That's a great question. My website is horrible. No, no website. I have to fix it. That's one of my goals. But my LinkedIn, I would say, is just under my first and last name, is the best way for people to reach me. Yeah.
Cool. Heck yeah. Oh, thank you so much for doing this. It was nice to catch up. We haven't like talked one-on-one in a while. I got to come visit you.
Okay. Yes. I'm so sorry that I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that has been on my to-do list to talk to you about. That I'm so sorry. I dropped the ball on that. Because we were supposed to meet up and I was like, let's do December.
No, you're fine. It's both of us.
No, Rachel, I'm taking the blame, because I truly was like, yeah, December. And I think we said December or November. I don't even remember. But
yeah.
It is my fault. I'm taking the blame, because truly the ball is in my court. I would love to see you. And this like last quarter has just been crazy for me. But yes, would love to see you.
Dude, same. Honestly, 2024 would be a much better time anyway.
We'll make it happen.
Cool. Yes. We'll make it happen. Life is long. We're all here for the ride.
Cool. We'll make it happen. Sweet.
Oh my God. I'm going to stop. Okay, cool. Thank you for of doing course. This. It was so nice
to
catch
up. So glad you did. I'm glad I could help. Yeah, totally.
Now, I wasn't joking when I said I could talk to Rachel for hours. I could. We had a hard time ending this episode because we just wanted to keep talking. But, you know, we both have work to do. I hope this episode gave you a better understanding of the emotional benefits of freelancing, how much it can do for your mental health, your confidence, your relationships, your lifestyle, but also that it's not a cakewalk and it really can be challenging, and it's important to weigh both of those aspects of this. I want to say business, but it's also a lifestyle. It's more than just starting a business. It is changing your lifestyle. If you want to join me and Rachel in our favorite place to hang out, Pop Club, you can find more information about how to join in the description below. It's only $33 a month. You can cancel anytime, and it comes with a free mini one-on-one coaching session with me, to help you sort out your roadmap so you know that your business is set up for success and you know what to do next to reach your goals. And if you want to connect with Rachel, you should hit her up on LinkedIn. Her LinkedIn link is in the description below, but it's also linkedin.com/in/RAYOTTE. All right, that's all I have for you guys today. I can't wait to see you next week on another episode of The Guidebook. I'll see you around the Meltzer Seltzerverse. Bye! This podcast was created by Rachel Meltzer and edited by Matthew Usherwood.
The music is by Ketza from the Free Music Archive.
You can find more information in the show notes below. P.S. Did you know that I offer coaching for freelance writers? You can find more information on store.meltzerseltzer.com. That's store.meltzerseltzer.com. MELTZERSELTZER.com.